I trust that it's been helpful to you and also encouraging and kind of keeping you going. That's kind of the reason for it, God's stabilizing truth in the midst of our world. And I think about this world we live in, and I don't think anybody here would disagree that we're in kind of a shaken world. Things are not always going the same way that we think they ought to, and we're thinking about, you know, I'm thinking about the different people that we have in our congregation, the people that are outside of our congregation. And I think about the sickness that sometimes we see in loved ones. Sometimes it's the sickness we have in our own lives that really gets us down. Sometimes it's the politics of our world, for better or for worse, okay? It is what it is in our world. And, you know, sometimes it's related to the things that are going on in our lives. Maybe a loss of a job or a situation where we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And we kind of lose track of things. In fact, sometimes it can even be a sin that seems to hang on a little longer than we'd like it to hang on to in our lives. And when we have that happen to us, it's kind of like this church in Thessalonica. They kind of started to lose some of their ground, some of their belief systems. You remember, we talked about the idea that there was a false teacher who came in and he sent a letter in the name of Paul. And in that letter, he said, the rapture has already occurred, so you've all been left behind. And they were getting kind of freaked out about it. And Paul says to them in the second chapter, the second verse, he says, don't be so easily shaken. Don't be so easily shaken. It's easy in a world that's shaking to get shaken. But Paul says, when the world shakes, understand this, that God has stabilizing truth. And he wants to give it. He wants you to have that stabilizing truth. And so as we've been going through this particular book, this letter that Paul wrote to these people, we have seen that God has given them the idea that we're to embrace God's gift of grace and peace. And we talked about those early on, that grace is not just a word we give. It's not just a word we say to them, grace and peace to you, grace and peace. Those are just words sometimes we say, but they really have deep, deep meaning. And so we saw that we're to embrace those, embrace God's gift of grace, and his grace is his gift of peace. And we also saw that what we are to look at and thank God for the things that are going on in our life, like suffering, to thank God for the suffering in our lives. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you thank God this week for the suffering in your lives? You don't have to raise your hands, because most of us would say, you know, that's not what was on my radar this week, okay? But he does. He says, I want you to thank me for your suffering, because out of the suffering, I'm going to receive glory, and you also are going to receive glory ultimately one day. And it's going to be good. And actually, it's going to produce in you something that can't produce any other way. And then he talked about the idea that the second coming is here. It's coming to us. That it's going to be here soon, but he says there's a way that you're going to know. And we talked about that last week, and I don't want to go all the way through all that was there, but in the process of going through that, we ended last week's message, or the last verse we were in last week, with this phrase, and it says, then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. People in this world, we seem to have a real separation in our world. Those who believe the truth and those who don't believe the truth. And Paul is saying to us here that there is coming a day when those who don't believe are going to be judged. And as I prayed earlier, we have a responsibility as Christians to be praying for opportunities to share the good news that we have in our hearts, the hope we have. Now, they may or may not receive it, but that's not the point. The point is that we would sow those seeds to the people around us. And as we continue now, we're moving into the next section, in verse 13 of chapter 2. And in most translations, it begins with a word, but. And Paul says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. But that little word has got a lot of significance. It's even three letters, but you know what it does is it pushes us backwards. It's a contrasting word. It's a word that is used to tell us there's something here, but there's something else to come. And so he just got done talking about the judgment that was to come, the rapture of the church, but the judgment that was going to come upon people. And then he says, but we ought also to thank God for you, brothers. So as we start into this passage here, let me read this for you. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And then we're going to go into this and talk about what God, Paul's doing here, because he's doing the very same thing he's done all the way through this letter. He's clarifying the teaching he's already given. He's repeating the teaching he's already given. And then he's praying for them. Teaching, repeating, praying. That's what he does. Teaching, repeating, praying. And if you listen to me throughout these books, the two letters to Thessalonians, you're going to hear that. That's what's been going on. We've been teaching, repeating, and praying. And some of you are going to say, I know, I've heard that. Okay? The question is, are you using it? Teaching, repeating, praying. Why is that? Because we forget. Amen. We forget. We don't think, we think we know, and then we get into a situation, and I'm going to share a situation that was going on in my life later on in this service that's going to get your attention. Got my attention. Because God is teaching, repeating, and praying for us. So let's read this, shall we? Beginning with verse 13. As for us, but we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when you were told the good news, and now you can share the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. And now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. So the first thing we want to see here is this, this whole message is about standing firm. Standing firm in what God has to do. And he says, first thing I want you to do is I want you to thank God for his work in you. God is at work in every believer from the time he calls them, actually, from the very beginning of their creation in the womb to the point where they go to be with him in eternity, okay? He is at work in their lives. From before the time of your inception, he was at work. He was already at work in you. And you think, he says, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you. So there's a thankfulness in Paul's heart, and we need to thank God for what he's doing, but we need to thank God for those who are around us. We need to thank God for them. I thank God for each one of you in this auditorium, for those people who I knew before I came here, for those people who I know before that point. You know, go back in your life and think about the people in your life and thank God for them. He says, I thank God, dear brothers and sisters. And there's that phrase again, dear brothers and sisters. We are what? A family. Okay? Our Father in heaven has called us, has chosen us, and we are his family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And then it says, we are loved by the Lord. Now, we all say, okay, I know that. But do you really understand it? Loved by the Lord. He goes on, I'm always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. That is in the city of Thessalonica. I thank God that God chose you. So here's one of those theological points. God chose you. Just let that sink in a minute. God chose you. You didn't choose him. In fact, the scripture is very clear that you had wanted nothing to do with God. It says you were an enemy of God, that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, that you had no capacity to even look to God. In fact, you wanted nothing to do with God. And yet God chose you. He chose you. Why? Because he loved you. He loves you. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now, interesting thing there is, he chose you, and he looked at the world, and he says, I love the entire world. He doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want any man to turn away from him. He gives every man an opportunity. Even those who are in distant countries that have no gospel presentation, the creation of the world speaks to them about a God who has set this all in motion, and they can turn to him out of that. He gives every man the opportunity. He has chosen us to be among the first to experience salvation. It goes on, and he says, that salvation came through the Holy Spirit who makes you holy through your belief in the truth. So let's think about this. Now, here we have God the Father calling you and choosing you, and now we have salvation that comes through the Holy Spirit on your life. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you understand, helps you to understand. He gives you the faith to believe, and then he starts to save you. He saves you from your sin. See, we all had wanted nothing to do with God, and so God says, well, I'm going to provide a way for you to come into relationship with me. And so we all know the story. Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sins. He was our substitute for our sin. We can either pay the penalty ourselves, or we can ask Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. And when we choose Jesus, understand this, that he chose you, he gave the capacity to do that, he gave you the faith to believe, and then he, when you, as it says, as you turn to him through belief in the truth is that Jesus died for my sins, you turn to him, he then saves you from the penalty of your sin. Now, the penalty of your sin was that you would be eternally separated from God in a place that you would be all alone in your own despair, thinking about the things you knew to be true and now have realized they are true, but now it's too late to receive them. To think about that for the rest of eternity is just mind-blowing. And that's what those around us who don't know Jesus are facing. But they in this world are saying this. They're saying, well, I don't need God right now. Someday down the road, maybe I'll believe in him. But right now, I'm gonna fill up my week and my life with the things that give me pleasure. You've ever thought about this? Why don't people come to church? Because they really don't think it's gonna help them. And so they go off and do whatever they want to do. Whatever they want to do. And that's what fills their weekends. And then they come back and they go back to work on Monday morning. And then they wonder why there's a hole in their heart on Monday morning. I think there's some Christians that are like that. We get wrapped up in the pleasures of ourselves. And it says, he called us through a belief in the truth. He called you to salvation that when we told you the good news, and now you can share that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the capacity to hear the good news. And we need to think about those who are out there dying in their sin. And we need to be praying for them. Praying for opportunities that they may come to know you, Lord Jesus. You see, we need to thank God for his work in us. He is always at work in us. Waymaker was a perfect song. Even though we can't feel it, he's working. Even though you can't see it, he's working. He's always working. He never stops working. He is always working in you and me. Even when we don't feel like we deserve it, even when we don't want it, he's still working. He doesn't stop working in our lives. So he goes on and says, you need to stand firm, brothers, in these things. With these things all in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Why is that? Because there's all kinds of stuff out there that are tearing at us to keep you from believing. Actually, to actually pull you away from what is the truth. Okay? So I want to give you an illustration this morning, and I don't know how many of you really relate to this at all, but I learned how to ski when I was in high school. I was at a church camp, and When I learned how to ski, they taught me how to ski from a boat dock, okay? This was the splinter way. So you would sit on the boat dock with your skis in the water, and the boat would come around, and they'd kind of pull out, and then he would just pull you, and you were on the top of the water already. That's the easy way to learn how to ski, okay? The problem is when you have to, when you fall in the water and you have to get back up. Okay? So how many of you have ever been in that position? Actually, the one on the bottom there, bottom right-hand side. Stop, stop! You know, it's coming over you like crazy, okay? Now, the interesting thing about skiing is the bigger you get, the harder it is to get out of the water. Last time I skied, they must have pulled my arms out of my sockets. And do you remember watching what the rope does when you let go when you're doing that? Boing! I mean, it just kind of, it takes off, okay? Why is this such a good illustration? Because in our world, okay, Paul says you need to keep a strong grip on that rope to get out of the water. Hang on. Now, why? Because the water's trying to pull you back, and you're going to feel like you're drowning, and even harder when you're on one ski, okay? Once you get up in the water, it's smooth sailing. It's a lot better on top of the water, isn't it? But it's when you're in the water, and sometimes that's where we're all at. We're in the water, and we're trying to get up on top, okay? And the water's trying to pull us down, and the boat's trying to pull us out, and the only thing between you and not getting on top of the water is a strong grip, hanging on, for all you know, to the truth, which is the rope that's pulling you out of the water. And understand this, that God's on the boat shouting back at you, you can do this, you can do this. Hang on, keep going. The truth is the truth. It never stops. Hang on. So he says to us, hang on to what's going on in your life. You see, God is at work in you. And I love this phrase. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it say there? Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is interested in your work. He, Jesus Christ, is working in you and working in me. And God our Father. Oh, now we have the first person of the Trinity, God our Father, working in us. And now we have the Lord Jesus Christ himself has a personal vested interest in your life and your spiritual goal to get you out of the water, okay? To get you planing out on top. And we just saw that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Because he's the one who brings the salvation to you, gives you the understanding. So we have the full Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in your life. And they never stop working. Who loved us by his grace and gave us eternal comfort and wonderful hope. That's what we've been given. Eternal comfort and wonderful hope. Eternal comfort. Comfort forever. Eternal hope and wonderful hope. I mean, that's what we live for. And I talk to people these days, it's kind of like I can't wait for the Lord to come back. And I say, absolutely. Praise the Lord. But he may not come back for another 100 years. Or he can come back tomorrow. You know, I hope for tomorrow. But it may be 100 years. And in that meantime, we're going to go through some hard times. We're going to go through some trouble. In fact, stuff that I've been reading right now is indicating there's a persecution that's going to start breaking out on the church in the United States. And it's going to be harder to come to this place because people are going to come at you for coming to this place. Our wonderful hope is what keeps us going. You're going to hang on. Because there's all kinds of falsehoods and false teachers out there that want to get you to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do. You'll be saved anyway. He says he loved us by his grace, his favor upon us, that called us when we were yet enemies of his and brought him to himself. It says he comforts you and strengthens you for every good thing you do and say. You know, there was a phrase, a verse in actual 2 Thessalonians 1:11. It says, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. I love this phrase. I love that phrase. To do all the good things your faith prompts you to do. How many of you this week have had your faith prompt you to do something and you went and did it? Okay? You know, I don't know. But let me tell you a story. This happened to me this week. This has been kind of a rough couple weeks with my dad in the hospital and a couple things going on. It just seems like I've been running here and there all over the place, trying to keep everything in. May I say this up front? I know that there are people out there who are suffering a lot more than I am, but to me, this was a load, okay? Now, it's not worse than anybody else. It's just everybody has their own individual things they have to deal with, okay? And so I was kind of crying out to the Lord and just saying, Lord, I just really need you to do something in my life. I need you to speak to me. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so I believe it was Monday. I woke up Monday morning and there was a request on my phone, a Facebook request. A Facebook request from an individual. I'm not giving any names this morning, but an individual that was in my Burwell youth group, 25 years ago, roughly. I don't think I have seen them for 25 years. I think the last time I saw them was at a wedding. And so there's this request, and this person, so I say, yeah, I'll take the request. You can be my friend. That'd be great. I'd love to talk to you. And then not more than 5 minutes later, I get a message. And I'm going to read this message to you. So this person says this, good morning. God keeps bringing you to mind this morning, so I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. Now, she has no idea where I'm at. I mean, she may know where I'm at, but she doesn't know what's going on in my life. She has no clue what's going on in my life. And then she says, praying that the Lord would surround you with his heavenly army and his warrior angels, and that you would seek him in decisions you make. Praying for wisdom and integrity, that you would seek him in order that your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Isaiah 30:21. Trust him. Know that he is with you, holding you, guiding you. Know in faith that when trusting God and walking in his will, Psalm 18:29 is his promise, his truth from the scripture. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Trust him. Walk in faith and confidence as you seek him and his will. He is with you, guiding you, holding you close and strengthening you. Prayers for endurance and courage and wisdom and integrity. Keep listening to his word. Seek him. Remember, know he is there. Even when you can't feel his presence, his light will guide you when you keep your focus on him. He's got your back. Now, I don't know about you, but that is the faith of the Holy Spirit prompting this person who is hundreds of miles away from me, who doesn't know a clue what's going on in my life, to send me something that was the most powerful words of inspiration I have heard in a long time. They hit me right between the eyes, right where I needed to be that day. And then at the end, she popped on a music video of Lauren Daigle called Rescue. I know I listened to that about 5 times. It was just one of those musical songs that just kind of spoke to my heart. Now, why do I share all that with you? Because it says here that the Holy Spirit prompts us to do what we're supposed to do. And you may say in your head, you know, that's just me. Don't say that. When God puts a name in your head, that name has been given for a reason. That person needs your help right now. Pray for them, contact them, figure out how to do it, because you may be the thing that keeps them hanging onto the rope and holding true to what they know is true. Don't leave them hanging. Don't leave them, because your faith is prompting. That's exactly what Paul said in the last verses here. He says, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, comfort and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. May he strengthen you and comfort you in every good thing you need to do that day. Would he do that? You see, this is a prayer. He just clarified the truth. He just taught us again. He reminded us. And then he prayed for us and said, may God himself enter your life and move you to where you need to be this week. You know, there may be some who are listening to this and they're saying, well, I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. I don't know what this love of God is all about. And I would encourage you this day, you may have only today left for the time when you can say to God, I want you to come into my life. I want to receive what you've given to me. I want you to pay for my sin so I don't have to pay for it. It's a free gift. But there are also some Christians here who've just kind of been, you have just said, you know, that's enough. My eternal salvation is all I need. And you're just, you haven't grabbed onto that rope and you're not pulling because it's just too, I'd like to use a word here that I shouldn't use. It's just too hard. You're so tired of being pulled under the water. And you think it's all about you. It's not. God's the one on the boat yelling to you, encouraging you to go. And the Holy Spirit's behind you, by the way. He's the skis. You know, without those skis, you wouldn't be getting up at all. If you just hang on, he's going to pop you out of the water, and it's going to get better. You know, when you walk through the tough times, it kind of shakes you, doesn't it? And yet, God's truth is unshakable. He says, I'm there with you. I'm making it work for you. I will empower you to do what you want, you need to do. Just hang on. And I want to say to you, hang on this morning. Stand firm. So would you just bow your heads with me this morning? Lord, I think that there are some here today that need to acknowledge that they have not been doing and listening to you. If you're one of those, and I really want every eye closed, I don't want you thinking about your neighbor. I don't ever do this, but I feel prompted to do this. If you need to be prayed for related to your life and standing firm and you're about ready to lose that grip, just put your hand up and just, I'm not looking, this God that's seeing them. I'm not looking at it. Put it up and put it down again. Because I want you to acknowledge that you are reaching out to God and you're saying, God, I need you. I need you to help me hang on. And there may be someone here who doesn't even know who you are. And they're saying, I want to know this hope that you have been talking about, Dave. If you want to know who Jesus is and you want to call out to him, I want you to put your hand up. I'm not looking. God's looking. Put it back down. Lord Jesus, you have seen those hands. And Father, you've seen the hands that couldn't go up because they were afraid. For fear of what others might think, they would not put their hand up. But Father, you know their hearts. And I'm asking Jesus right now, number one, for those who know you, that you would encourage them and you would lift them up and you would get underneath them on those skis and you'd pop them out of the water so they can feel the presence of God. And Father, I pray that you would encourage them and you would make their grips tight on that rope. And Father, for those who have said, I want to know you, Lord Jesus, would you hear their cry? Because you say, those who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. Lord, we call on your name for them. Father, we lift them up to you. We ask that you would reach down and you would confirm their faith as they say, I want to have you pay for my sin, Lord Jesus. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to be separated from you forever. I want to know you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would save them this morning. Lord, you never stop working among us. Never. The truth is, even though we can't see it, even though we can't feel it, you are present. You are present here, Lord Jesus. You yourself vested in our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for living within us. Father, touch our lives. And Heavenly Father, thank you for your great work and the grace that you have determined before ever anything was ever born, what you would do for these people who hated you. And yet you loved them and you gave your life for them that they could come into relationship with you. Would you be receive the glory, Lord? Would you receive all the praise? Would you be lifted up and honored and praised in Jesus' name?